recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Oh, it's live, pal.
For years, wrestling figure collectors like myself have dreamed of one single website to be the authority in collection information. Today, that realization has arrived thanks to Rob and Dylan at the Wrestling Figure Database website. If there's a wrestling figure line out there, Rob and Dylan have it cataloged or are in the process of adding it to the website. I'm excited to get the chance to talk to Rob and Dylan, so let's get into that conversation right now.
Rob and Dylan, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
I am also fantastic, Rob.
I'm going to describe myself as doing fairly well.
Okay.
7 a.m. for you, so.
Yeah, I haven't even had my Simpson sprinkle donut yet, but here we are.
No good.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for coming on. It's an honor to have you guys on here. I love what you guys are doing with the whole website, and it's something I think most of us fans have dreamed of as a kid, at least. I know I did, and I don't want to mislead anybody. I dreamed about it as an adult, too, but where were you guys, Rob, where were you born and raised? We'll start off with you.
So, born and raised just outside Rochester, New York. It's upstate New York. But born, you know, lived here most of my life. I moved away for a while and I'm back, but it's a great community, you know. There's a lot of people on Facebook and stuff that are all about wrestling and stuff too, so I definitely like it.
Very nice. And what about you, Dylan?
Actually, I was born in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and I grew up in Rochester, Massachusetts. So, Rob, I don't know if I knew that about you, but we both kind of have that Rochester connection.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that could be our tag team name, Rochester Connection.
There you go.
But I'm currently in South Carolina, and I would say the thing I miss most about being up north is I definitely, kind of like Rob was mentioning, there seems to be a pretty strong wrestling community up north, and it's not Flair country down here anymore. So kind of sad when I got down here and it wasn't Flair country.
To me, that'd be the power selling point of the move. Like, we're going to Flair country. You in? Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, it's pretty non-existent.
So what's going on down there nowadays?
South Carolina, I think if I had to pick like an identity for it, I'm in the Charleston area. The identity would probably be food. It's big. Huh. Culinary area. So everything kind of revolves around food, and like lots of large companies like WWE, AEW typically don't avoid the area, and the only thing or typically avoid the area and the only thing that we really get around here is like country music concerts which go nuts. So WCW I sometimes look back on like Cage Match and WCW, some of the stuff they used to do in North Charleston, and I'm like, oh, I dream for that.
Yeah, that's crazy. I would definitely miss that too, for sure.
Yep.
Rob, what kind of wrestling scene did you grow up with, or how did you originally discover wrestling and get into it?
So when I was younger, yeah, I was born in 82. So, well, I remember growing up, and the only thing that was on was that Saturday Night Main Event. And it was on like once a week, and I remember watching that. You know, my dad would watch it with me sometimes, and that was the only thing on. I remember that, always watching that, and sometimes we'd watch it before or after dinner or whatever. But that was a big thing that got me in. And then there was a time I think I watched it for years and years, and then I got out of it for a little while. And then when I was in middle school, I got back into it. That's right before like the Attitude, you know, years and stuff. So. And then I think I just stayed in it ever since then.
Seems to be a real common thread for a lot of people was the Attitude Era.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, I think, when wrestling was at its peak for sure. You know, the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars and all that.
What about you, Dylan?
So since we've been doing kind of this thing and we've like had the opportunity to talk to more people, I've kind of been trying to like pinpoint my origin story, I guess you would say. And mm-hmm. I don't have like an exact pinpoint. Like I remember wrestling like always being there. I mentioned this some other times, but my parents got divorced when I was in second grade and we moved in with my aunt. And I remember LJNs always around their house. I remember like if my sister and I were good for the week, like we would get to pick a prize from a prize box. And I remember being able to pick like those WCW yellow bordered cards, with like Sid, Arn Anderson and stuff like that. And so it's kind of like always been there in the background. But the first time I really remember like investing in wrestling was also, during the Monday Night Wars. I was a diehard WCW guy. Used to fight my sister for the TV on Monday nights so that I could click back and forth. And then went over to college around 2000, stopped watching, and picked it back up around WrestleMania 30, I think, which looking back was like probably the best time to pick up today's product. Picked it up around WrestleMania 30 and have been kind of in it ever since. Kind of off the WWE train right now and mostly in AEW.
Gotcha. Yeah, super jealous of your prize box, because I know for me it was like one of those lame plastic spiders or an eraser. You know, like I wasn't getting anything I wanted, that's for sure.
To be clear, it was probably like a beat up card just thrown in there in the box, and I selected that one. But I still thought it was cool. I still love those pictures, like Sid and like the figure that's actually coming out, that like orange jumpsuit.
Yeah, Four Horsemen era, right?
Yep.
Which is hilarious to me because that was such a flash in the pan. I mean, and most people hated the idea at the time, but you know, here we are fast forward and people are digging it. So that's kind of cool. Seems to be pretty common with a lot of the wrestling figures from today covering various eras that like I remember back, people didn't really dig that character, but today people love it. So that's kind of cool to see it recycled.
Yeah, it's the same reason people probably want a Tom Zink figure or like Paul Roma. Like,
right.
Hindsight and nostalgia has a interesting effect on people.
Most of us that were around during that time wanted nothing more than for them not to be on our television set.
But, yep.
I'm sorry. Rest in peace, Tom Zink.
Oh, I forgot that he had passed. Oof, sorry, Tom Zink.
Yeah, I feel a little guilty now, but it's Sunday, so maybe after this I'll head off to church and
we'll be forgiven.
Get some forgiveness. Yes. Rob, when did you discover wrestling figures then?
When I was younger, that, you know, the LJNs were big, but I never got any like new ones. You know, I got them like secondhand or from flea markets or you know, just from other people. I definitely remember the LJNs. But then I never understood why I never was big into the Hasbros. Like, I never got any Hasbros. I skipped that whole generation of toy lines. But now I actually know now, because I was in, when I was a kid, I was into so much other stuff like He-Man and G.I. Joe and Ghostbusters and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that I think I wasn't huge into like the actual wrestling figures compared to all the rest of the figures. So it wasn't until like Jax, when Jax came out, I started noticing their figures, and I was older too. And then when they came out, the Bone Crunching, and a little after that, I definitely like got into it with the Titantron, and I just started buying a bunch of different ones, and that's where it really got me going.
Yeah, the Titantron thing was a massive love-hate deal for me, just because the first set of them were maybe the worst wrestling figures I've ever seen in my life. But then they had that moment where they got the real scan technology, and I was just floored. Like, the rest of the, you know, 90% of the body still right. was horrible, but now you've got this face that looks just like the guy. And so anyway, yeah, that's an interesting period.
Yeah, I think sure. It was just because they started coming out with more wrestlers and different wrestlers, and I had the entrance where if you put their foot on it, it would make their entrance noise. So I think that was a big part of it. Actually, the figures did look a little weird. Like, they definitely weren't, what do you call it? They weren't proportionate, really, compared to, like, not when they started doing, like, the aggression and ruthless aggression figures and stuff. But I don't know. That just drew me in. That's where it all started, I think.
Dylan, I didn't already ask you that, did I? Where did you discover the figures?
Yeah. I don't exactly know. Apparently, like, mid-90s are like a blur for me for some reason. I was born in 85, but for some reason, maybe I was partying too hard around 10 years old. I don't know.
I was going to say, I think I've got my theories as to why that might be.
I don't know. Maybe I was a hard-living 10-year-old. But no, I remember, like, the thing that I collected the most in, like, the mid-90s, late 90s was Star Wars Power of the Force. And it must be right around the same time that I started kind of picking up the Hasbro figures. I don't recall buying any of them like direct from the store. I recall getting them from flea markets, and I remember this place in Rhode Island, and like I almost feel like it may have been like a precursor to like Ringside or something like that, but they had at the time really affordable Hasbros and just getting handfuls of them. And so I amassed a pretty big collection of Hasbros in the mid to late 90s. And just like watching wrestling, took a break. And then my wife bought me the Four Horsemen Mattel 4-pack. That was like a Target exclusive. And then that slippery slope kicked in. And, you know, after that, I think I got like the Heenan family 4-pack on sale at Target. It was like $12.50, and I was like to my wife, like, babe, how can I not get this? And then, you know, from there it's like I was one of the guys that picked up Target Tito and brought him home. So I mean, it's been since then just pick up all Mattel Elite Legends, which is my kind of bread and butter.
I feel like I found the needle in the haystack. We'll just go ahead and wrap the show up. We found the guy who bought the Target Tito.
I mean, I have some gripes about that. I resent that comment. The Target, it's boring, but it's a really good figure. And
yeah, no, I agree.
I don't know if anybody else has done it, but you pop the head off that guy and you get one of the Matador's figures, and you've got yourself a beautiful El Matador era Tito Santana.
I tried that. I don't know if mine was a little wonky or something, but it looked like the body was a little skinny for him. But I agree, the paint scheme looks tremendous.
I'm probably also not the best one to comment on that because I am not super picky about like proportion and scale. I'm more like does it look like the person? Yes. And then I'm kind of good.
Yeah. And I got to say that if you take that leftover body and throw your Martell head on there, now you got Strike Force. So
there we go.
Yeah.
Rob, when did you first get the idea? Or I know you guys kind of did this together and you both had your ideas and thoughts about doing it, but we'll start with you, Rob. When did you first get the idea to make a site like this, or what kind of, you know, sparked you into
starting that? Yeah. So that's, so my journey pretty much started in like, I think late 2018, early 2019, I had the idea, much like Dylan, to do something, you know, a database type of thing that gets everything together. And I was like, there's nothing out there. So I started a website based off of, you know, it was like GoDaddy or something like that. But I started one. I had it up for about 9 months, but I couldn't do a lot of stuff I wanted to do with it. So then I just went straight to Facebook and I was using that, you know, to put the pictures on and everything. And that's still there. I keep updating that. But then Dylan came along back in January and I got a message from him. He's like, hey, you know, I started this website and it looks like you already have, you know, a lot of it going on. So we, you know, combined our resources together and made the website he's currently got running now, which is so much better than the one I had going on. And he's doing a lot of good stuff to it. But we're still coming together, you know, looking at different series that we still have to pull and put up there. And so now it's definitely a lot nicer doing it together. And we're both finding stuff that we didn't know about and reaching out to the community. So that's the short version.
Was there something that kind of sparked your thought process one day, like that, you know, was kind of the spawning of why you wanted to do that, or where'd you pull the idea
Yeah,
from?
I think, because the figures I collect, like I collect Rey Mysterio and Mick Foley. I collect certain figures. There's only like five or six that I collect. And like, I can't find, trying to find all these Rey Mysterios is so hard. So I started my own list initially back when I started collecting. So having over, you know, 200 Rey Mysterios, you had to figure out which ones I still need or which ones I have. So I was like, there's nothing that comes together. You know, each site's different or some of them don't have what we're looking. I was looking for. So I was like, well, I think I'm just going to, you know, start this little bit. You start with what the collectors collect, you know, the elite scale, and then you just branch out from there.
Rey Mysterio, just in Jax alone, I tried to do that for a while during the Ruthless Aggression, and man, I applaud you, sir. That's quite a task you're taking.
Yeah,
on there.
And some it's hard because like some look like they're the same, but yet they are different, or they are the same. So I was like, oh, but yeah, that's where it all started. Was these Rey Mysterio figures that I don't know. I don't think he has the most figures. Well, with Jax, he might. But I know John Cena, I think, has the most Mattel figures.
Yeah, and boy, are those significantly different, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, no, in the early days of the Elites, I was trying to keep up with all his new shirts and hats for a while, too. So I think I probably got, you know, 10 different unique John Cenas. John Cena's probably going to be the president someday, so I'm going to retract my comments about his boring figures and say, John, you got a great selection there. What about you, Dylan? It's going to be tough to follow the Rey Mysterio story, but how did you come up with yours?
I think it seems like Rob and I probably started in a pretty similar spot. So I used to keep checklists in Excel for basically all WWE Mattel Elite Legends of guys that were active before the year 2000. So,
oh wow!
And it ended up being almost like, you know, a 4-page sheet. And I also started building onto that, like my Hasbros, so that I could say, like, all right, I need 10 more from Series 11 or whatever, along with the retros. And so I've always kind of had this like mind for like organization. And when the pandemic started, I started really getting into G.I. Joe. And G.I. Joe has a couple resources that they make it really easy for you to kind of find out what you have. And I couldn't find something similar for wrestling. And I kind of stumbled upon Rob's Facebook page and his idea of like wrestling figure database. And I think at the time it was collection. And I was like, you know, if it's not out there, it's out there for all these other toy lines. Somebody's got to do it. Like, maybe this other guy's going to want to partner with me to kind of make this really arduous task, this overwhelming task, maybe a little bit easier. And then it just kind of came together really quick. When I kind of start something, I sink my teeth into it. And so really when we started it, it was just kind of downhill from there. So I've been just doing it for 2 months since.
2 months, and you guys have yielded all the data that's on there, or was some of that brought out? I mean, not that that makes it any less spectacular, but what we see on your website, is that a byproduct of just that 2 months, or was some of it brought over pre-existing?
Yeah, that's where like I think the partnership with Rob was super important for the site. He had already done a lot of work for like the large toy lines that we consider the collector's line. So Mattel Elites, Mattel Ultimates, Mattel Basics. Rob, I forget what other big one you had. I think like the Mattel Elites was really like,
I had the Jax, I think some of the Jax Classics done.
Yeah, that was the other one, Jax Classics. And, he had those kind of like ready packaged for me to kind of throw up on the site. But since then, I mean, it's just been kind of pulling each one of these together. Like Rob will go on a hunt for like Rob, I think you did a hunt for micro brawlers. Yep. Like Rob pulled together all the assets that we needed for that. And then I was able to get that onto the site within like an hour or two. So yeah, this is mostly a product. I would say like there's absolutely some of it that Rob had in his back pocket when we started this, but this is essentially 2 months worth of work.
Wow, man, that's amazing. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure there was no sandbagging going on because that, you know, I got to look out for the community. And no, no, that's amazing, you guys. I mean, it's such a powerful tool that I got to be honest, like even just during the Jack's like bone crunching era, I thought there's no way something like that could ever exist. I mean, there's just too many of these like bone crunching action figures out there in variants and it's never going to happen. And you add like all the Titantron lives, all the Ruthless Aggression. Oh yeah. And then this small toy line called Mattel with all the basics and everything else. It's amazing that you guys have gotten this all off the ground.
It's, I mean, to me, this is like, I love doing this. Like if I could quit my day job and do this and somehow make the salary that I do, like I would. Like I love like organizing stuff like this and like it's almost like detective work. And so I've really enjoyed doing it and like learning about like to me the Japanese lines, the Mexican lines, like that's where the fun is. And then it's like some of this stuff like Jax is like Rob and I are just slowly, slowly chipping away at it. Like even what we have up there, like there's so many more lines that I can't spend any more time on Jax. Like I just need to take a break. And so I would say like, to be honest, I think we have like probably 90% of probably less, like let's say 85% of what I know about kind of on the site. But there's still like 15% and probably 5 of that's Jacks, to be honest.
Wow. The international figures or the, you know, the Japanese and some of that stuff. Junk Shop Dog is probably a really good resource for you guys on some of that stuff, even just picture wise. That's a whole nother world that I never really explored, but I talked with him a couple weeks back and super knowledgeable guy. So maybe he can be a source of information for you guys on some of that stuff.
We're in contact and he actually just supplied me with my first Japanese figures ever. Yeah.
Really? What did you end up getting?
I got the New Japan Superstar Series 3 Great Muta and Noah Mogura House Kenta Kobashi Deluxe with two titles.
Uh-oh, I can hear the riff starting. Your wife just realized you're going down a whole new rabbit hole, right?
I kind of have like I haven't actually told Rob this, but like I want to lay out like at some point all the figures kind of like every single figure line in a row to kind of show like the scale, because I think like people don't know when you look at like these Japanese figures on card, like those are actually like 3¾. Like they aren't like LJNs, which to me they look like based on like the card, based on kind of like the figure itself, but like they're more galoob sized than LJN. And I don't think that people really kind of know that. And so I'm trying to grab like one figure from every line to kind of do this crazy, stupid thing.
Give them their own police lineup.
Yep, exactly.
Maybe you can have like the, instead of the foot thing in the background behind the criminals, you can have the how many inches they are behind
exactly.
Or something.
Yep.
I don't know. Junk Shop Doug's a super cool guy. One of the funner guys out there that I've been able to meet. And that's awesome that you guys have connected. He's doing really cool stuff over there. And those new Road Warrior Sofubi figures that are coming out are... Whew.
Yep.
Yeah.
I actually grabbed his Bruiser Brody too.
Oh, nice.
I'm on socials and I've been seeing his reveals and I think they're really great. I think he's got something going definitely for him, you know, and the collectors and people that liked like where he's located is perfect too, you know, because like I listened to your interview with him and he's got, you know, he knows all the Japanese wrestler, you know, like the line, toy lines, and he knows stuff like that that people, you know, in the States don't really know as much. So I think he's got a lot good going for him, and can't wait to see what else he's got going down the road.
There's a whole untapped market out there, I think. Like myself, I've been a fan of wrestling for way longer than I'd care to admit, but I also would admit that I didn't know anything about that whole world that he's in. So I think there's tons of people like myself that are going to experience this stuff for the first time with him. So I really dig what he's doing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
One of the questions I was going to ask was already answered by Rob with the Rey Mysterio collection. Dylan, are there any figures that, are you a completionist at all? Are there lines that you're trying to complete or particular wrestlers that you're trying to get re-release they've had, that sort of thing?
No. I mentioned it, but my kind of bread and butter is Mattel Elite's Ultimates Defining Moments, any of those highly articulated lines of guys that were basically active up until WrestleMania 2000. Or WrestleMania 2000 attires, I guess it would be. Okay. So I try to get all of those, but there's some, like, I don't need the Legends George the Animal Steel and the Hall of Fame George the Animal Steel. Like, they're so negligibly different that I don't need both.
Come on, one of them comes with a teddy bear
I got the teddy bear one, which makes the other one obsolete. And then I, long term, I'd love to complete my Hasbros, but can't justify spending as much as I'm going to need to for Series 11, especially with today's market. So, like, I don't know. Within reason, yeah, I try to complete those two as kind of like my main focuses. Along with AEW, but I'm kind of okay with not getting the ones that I feel like are too out of my price range.
I think that's divorce material. Yeah. If you, honey, look at the $900 123 kid loose figure I got that's partially sun faded.
Yeah, she supports me in pretty much all of this stuff. And yeah, I got two kids, so I got to be somewhat responsible.
Good advice for anybody out there that's trying to balance this insane hobby with some sort of a relationship. Mm-hmm. Rob, is there other figures outside of the Rey Mysterio that you shoot for? Is that
no, I got a handful I shoot for. Rey Mysterio is definitely number one. I got Hulk Hogan I shoot for. I have like over 100 Hogan figures. Yeah, I saw the new reveals. Wow. He's got a couple more coming out, which I'm excited for. Also, Demon, Finn Balor. Any Mick Foley figures, you know, all his different personas. And then I have a small little collection of Sergeant Slaughter. So, and then I just started doing like a mass wrestlers. So I'm just picking up, you know, different mass wrestlers. I'm going to put them and see which ones, you know, like I have like, you know, I have like the El Matadors, but then I have like the Blue Blazer, but then I have like Hurricane, but then I have like Shark Boy, you know, so. It's going to be a different mix of stuff.
That's an awesome one to get is the Mick Foley. Did you get, I think it was Jax, the one that came and had like a big mask in the background, like one of those kids, Mankind masks. I guess I need to get on your site and do a little more research on this stuff, but yeah. Gosh, what was the name of that series? It came with a figure with a toy mask.
I think I might. A lot of them I have loose. I definitely don't have the mask, but I think I might have that figure. Yeah.
Dylan, are you majoritarily loose or mint on card?
100% loose.
My man.
Yeah, I've always been an opener for everything. I don't know. I respect the mint on card stuff. It's definitely a better investment because I know I'm throwing money away as soon as I open them and it hurts me a little bit. But if I can't enjoy them and touch them and see it and I don't know. I'd lose something big, I think.
I definitely agree with the sentiment. I respect anybody that keeps a mint on card. And in a weird way, it's kind of like when you drive that brand new car off the lot when you open
it. Totally, right? Dude. Yeah, that's a great comparison. Yeah.
What about you, Rob? Are you? I should preference that I am kind of mixed. I've got some legends that I keep mint on card in hopes that I'll get them signed someday. But then I tend to also double up and get
I'd
open.
Say I'm about 85% loose. Like you, I have some that are MOC or still in box. So there's some I do have signed, or some I might have duplicates, so I'll keep one in the box and one loose. Like if they're on sale or clearance, I might pick one up, but I don't do that too often. But it really depends on the box. If the box is something really nice, I might keep it in the box, or if I have a spot for it on my shelf, then I'll keep it in the box. Otherwise, I'll just open it, because you can do more with an open figure. You can display it, I think, better or more, or however you want.
One of the challenges is that, I mean, once you start getting into hundreds or, dare I say, thousands of figures, where the heck do you display all
that? Exactly. I don't know how some of these people, they say they're mint on card. I'm like, you must have a whole floor to your house full of figures. I can't be doing that. You know, that's crazy.
Right. So true.
Another reason why I kind of go loose is, like, I feel like so much stuff is lost in terms of, like, critique nowadays with everybody keeping everything MOC. Like, nobody opens anything to say, like, hey, this thing's got, like, limbs that are floppy and, like, don't, or, like, won't stay still, or they're locked in place. Like, the lines don't get sometimes, like, the analysis that they need. I think, like, an example, Pro Kevin Owens, like, I've bought probably like five of those, and like six of them, three of them I can't tell if, like, the action is broken out of the box. Like, it's these minor things that, like, people, they're like, oh, this is great, and it's like, well, you know, if you looked a little closer, you opened it up, like, you could see this other aspect of it.
You may be appearing on an upcoming episode of Unsolved Mysteries, Dylan, because I've often asked, like, why are there unboxing videos? Why would I want to watch somebody else open a figure? Oh, and
yeah,
maybe you just solved the question there.
Vicarious living.
One of the things I like to do on this podcast is ask my guests what they recently have purchased or found, whether it's out in the wild at Target or Walmart or on Amazon or wherever you guys get your figures. Dylan, you want to go first and let us know what you've come up with recently?
Sure. I've largely given up on, like, in-store hunting around me. It's just a lot of time for not a lot of return, and I kind of put, like, I guess, a high value on my time. So I kind of have stopped doing it mostly. The last things that I've kind of got are the two Japanese figures from Junk Shop, along with the Sofubi Pro Wrestling Series 2 Bruiser Brody from him also, because I don't think I'll ever own a real Popey. I also, just with the return of retros, grabbed a case of the figures with the retros series with Braun, Iron Sheik, and I forget who else is in there. But I grabbed a case of those just for funsies to see if anything happens. And I think that's probably my big ones. I've got some other stuff that came in, like G.I. Joe. I got G.I. Joe Classified, Supreme Cobra Commander, and things like that. But wrestling-wise, that's the heavy hitters, I think.
I just did a local trade with somebody, and I got the basic NXT TakeOver Finn Balor, the demon one that came with the ring. But just loose, because I didn't want the ring. I just picked up, and then from Walmart, I got the Rock and Mankind Funko Pop 2-pack. Then I think the only other thing I got from Target was the Elite 82 Jerry Lawler, and I picked that up for a friend. So nothing too crazy, nothing like Dylan, but enough to keep me going, you know.
Sometimes yeah, it's quality over quantity, huh? Or at least that's what you have to tell yourself when you don't get as many figures maybe on a certain week. I wanted to do something fun here, so I decided on the Survivor Series Teams of Five Survive. So I want you guys to pick your team of five figures. It could be from any line or anything, but no duplicate. So if you pick a Savage Hasbro, you can't pick a Savage Mattel. Five figures a piece, and just see how it turns out.
That's a good one.
Yeah. All right. I am going. This will be an interesting one. Storm Collectibles, red and yellow Hulk Hogan.
Ooh. Yeah. That's good.
A heavy hitter.
Damn good figure.
What about you, Rob? Who's going to anchor? Well, who's going to anchor your team here?
I was going to choose.
That was swinging below the belt, Dylan. I know.
Yeah, I know. Rob, I was Hogan. Lined up. Kind of mean, but
I think I would do Cactus Jack from Jack's Classic Superstars with the Toy Fair 1 of 3,000.
Nice.
All right, you got me standing up looking at my collection.
That's what the whole exercise is all about, man.
Yeah.
You know, you got all that sitting there. Let's use it.
I always like to socialize this figure whenever I can because I think it's underappreciated. Defining Moments Series 2, or no, Defining Moments Undertaker Edition 2. The Ministry of Darkness 1. It's a bulky figure. It's beautiful. Great deco, even though it's all black. It's just, I love that figure.
That's the one that's got like the rubber...
rubber vest.
Outfit that...
Rubber vest, rubber shoulder pads, but soft, good cape.
Okay, yeah. I don't think I have that one, but I think I know what you're talking. It's like 42 pounds, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll send. We don't have a chat on this thing, but I was going to say I can send you a picture from the database.
Gotcha. I bet you can. Yeah. What about you, Rob?
I actually think I would take. Let's see. I would do the Ultimate Edition Ric Flair.
Ooh.
Yeah. Thank you. That's one of the better pick. Ultimate Editions and even Ric Flair's.
I would agree with that.
I will go Hasbro Series 1 Macho Man with the orange trunks.
Orange trunks, yeah. That's high up on most longtime collectors lists, I would say. That's an awesome pull. Especially in the third round. Good job.
All right. Well, I got a figure that I really like. It's the Elite 66 Bludgeon Brother Harper figure.
Ooh, I haven't seen those in real life, and I have a feeling they're pretty awesome.
Yeah, Dylan, that's countering your 42-pound Undertaker, that Bludgeon Brother one, I think, is in that range. 41 pounds, I think, it weighed.
Yeah, that's a good one, Rob. Putting me up against it here. I'm not a huge fan of the guy. And this is blasphemy. It's probably going to get me flamed. But I am going to go Ultimate Edition Bret Hart.
Wow.
Ooh.
That's nice. Let's see. I think, which is number 4. I'm going to choose the Elite WWE Network Spotlight, Finn Balor, where he's like the chainsaw and the trench coat. Ooh.
Yep. That's a good one.
Yeah, that one's a good one.
To pick varying lines, I think I'm going to go with a retro selection here. And I think he has the most eliminations in the Rumble. I don't know if he still does, but he'd probably be a pretty good Survivor Series teammate. I'm going to go with Retro Kane, which is a pretty darn good figure. I just posted on Twitter that I knocked down all my retros and Hasbros when I was moving a TV, so I had to reset them up. And I got a newfound appreciation for those. Mattel retros, they're quite nice aside from a few which are obvious misses. Oldberg.
Yeah. I don't know what they were thinking. That was
brutal.
Yeah. What about you, Rob? Well, how are you gonna close out your team?
I wanted
here?
To do the Ultimate Warrior figure, and I was trying to see which one to do, but I think it's gonna be the Classic Superstars. What series is that? 7 Warrior.
Classic that 7. Is, which decor was that
one? I want to say I got it.
You got to have the site up here, man. Classic Superstar Series 7. Yeah. It's like riding a bike. Here we go.
He's got the championship belt with the blue with the blue wrap.
That's a cool one.
He's got his orange, green, and yellow tassels.
Yeah. Pretty much every color under the sun. And I think the notable one on that is he's got the small warrior symbol on his face instead of the full face paint, which I think makes that the more notable of the figures.
Got it. Yeah, that'll be a good exercise for anybody that's listening to this. If you're not familiar with any of these figures, that's kind of the tie-in, is use the site, Wrestling Figure Database site, and go look all these up. And might be a good intro to the site if you haven't used it yet.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I actually like this is I use it as a fan of wrestling figures. So I'm like, oh, if I'm using it, probably doesn't suck. So,
yeah, you mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but that's advice that my dad gave to me when I was a kid. And I know it's not unique. He didn't invent it, but it was the whole idea of find something you love to do and then find somebody who will pay you to do it. I hope there's some way that you guys can turn it into a job and make money off of it if that's what you guys want to do, and quit your day jobs.
I'll be holding my breath. Yeah. And I will be dead.
There has to be some way to monetize it. You'll have to find some way,
though, it's kind of like one of those things where it's like it's a hobby. As soon as it turns into something like that, you know, it's going to get ruined. So it's like,
that's true.
Just follow my passion for now. And, you know, let's see what comes from it.
Yeah. Maybe Mattel will hire you or something.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. Guys, I really respect and dig what you guys are doing with the website. I think it's awesome. Like I said, young me would have never believed something like this could possibly be there. And so all these years later, I just think it's so cool that you guys are doing it. Do you guys have anything you want to plug, or where can people find you guys?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're on most of the socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Definitely check out Wrestling Fig DB, or, you know, short for Wrestling Figure Database. We're following a lot of the major, you know, figure companies, or the customizers, or the, you know, the photographers. We love seeing what they do, you know. The biggest thing is we're just a big community. We just want everybody to, you know, see what we're doing. You know, if we're missing something, let us know. If you want us to post something, you know, we'll look into it. We just want to get stuff for everybody, you know, with the community's help, with, you know, collectors and everybody else out there, that they pretty much want the same thing we want, you know.
Absolutely. I think you guys are succeeding. I mean, the first time I heard you guys were out there, between that point and now, I think there's a big buzz. Regularly, everybody I talk to is mentioning what you guys are doing. And so I think I could step out on a limb and say thank you on behalf of just about everybody who collects wrestling figures on this one.
Awesome. Yeah, I was going to say, just Wrestling FigDB on Twitter. Rob runs our Facebook page, which is Wrestling Figure Database. Again, Rob mentioned it, but please, like, if there's something you want, let us know. If there's something missing, let us know. We're not experts in every single line. We need your help. It's the only way that we're going to get this as the most complete, database around. So please join us, and yeah, love to discuss all this stuff. It's what we love to do.
Big, big fans of you guys, and I really appreciate your time for coming on. I know I went a little long today, but definitely appreciate your guys' time. And if there's anything I can do to help you guys, let me know. Be happy to help you guys any way I can. Last thing, guys, I usually ask my guests to pick a theme song of any wrestler to head out on. I thought it'd be fitting in this case, for you guys being the first twosome on the podcast, for you guys to pick a tag team theme song, and we'll head out on that song.
I think the LOD is a good one for us.
Yep.
LOD. Are you guys going WWF circa or Iron Man?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. No. Well, sorry, Rob. Are you okay with WWF? All right. Billy and Chuck was taken, guys, so we'll settle with this.
Yeah, Mike, that character. All right, guys. Thanks again for coming on, and we'll talk to you guys in the
Sure,
near
thank
future,
you.
I'm sure.
Awesome. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah.
Be well.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Before we get out of here, I just wanted to give a few shout outs and of course thank my guests this week, Dylan and Rob of the Wrestling Figure Database. Two awesome guys doing an awesome job over there. And if you can, get on the website, support them, help them with pictures and information, and support the website. They're two great guys doing an awesome job and kind of fulfilling a lifelong childhood dream of mine, and I'm sure many of you guys too. Shout out Dylan and Rob, Wrestling Figure Database. Shout out Drew and Caitlin Venzel, Tales from the Estate podcast. Awesome show, highly entertaining. I listen to it every week, and you should give it a listen if you haven't already started doing so. Hilarity ensues, top fives begin, and it's just a fun podcast. So if you're not checking that out, make sure you're checking out Tales from the Estate podcast. Shout out Drew and Caitlin. Shout out to Scott and Jeff over at Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. Say it every week. They're the first. They've been doing it the longest. And if you dig wrestling figures like I do, that's the show you need to be listening to. Shout out Scott and Jeff, Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. Also, make sure you check out Scott's other podcast, Drunk Wrestling History. Scott, Eddie, and Adam do an awesome job recapping wrestling shows, different topics, wrestling themes, and just about anything in the world of wrestling. So make sure you're checking them out. Shout out Drunk Wrestling History. Breaker and Bane's Power Hour. It's a weekly staple for me. Check them out. Breaker and Bane. Those two guys always have topics of interest for me to check out, and you should check them out too. And don't forget to check out Breaker's other podcast. You know it's fake, right? Shout out Breaker and Bane.
Thank you for listening to Pulling Up a Chair with a Chair Shot. If you enjoyed it, please help put the show over by telling a friend and clicking the subscribe button on Anchor, Google, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. You will get instant notifications whenever a new show drops. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HairShot. That's A-C-H-A-I-R-S-H-O-T. You will want to keep an eye on my socials in the coming weeks. Trust me. Feel free to leave questions or audio comments on the show page on Anchor FM's website or email them to me directly at hairshot@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in again, and until next week, Bobby.
All good things must come to an end, right?
Well, every time changes
everything. And a friend in need is a pest.